I'm continuing this little series of Matthew 8, following Jesus. The title today is Leaving the Dead Behind. Matthew 8, would you please, right there where you are, open your Bibles in Matthew 8, 18 to 22, Leaving the Dead Behind. I love this thing that we have to understand, why with Jesus, why with the same God that says, honor your father and your mother, we tell this man, why with the same God, the same Jesus say, let the dead bury their own dead. You follow me. The Bible says in Matthew 8, we're going to read a little scripture, the context of last Sunday and now this Sunday, 21 and 22. The Bible says in 8, 18, and when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man is homeless, has nowhere to lay his head. 21. Then another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. He's asking permission to do something first. But Jesus said to him, follow me. Can you read that with me? And let the dead bury their own dead. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, because I don't know the hearts of those in this place, but you know it, God. You know my heart. You know how this word is touching me. And it's your word trying to help me. And I ask you that your word will continue to work in this place, Lord. Lord, we have goats and we have dead ideas and we have dead principles and values in our lives, Lord. And I ask you that today you will reveal to us at least one of them, that we are willing to hang on to them, God. I ask you that you just help us to see that you are life, that you are salvation, that you are peace, you are joy, you are forgiveness, you are mercy, you are a life of life. Lord, I ask you, the Spirit would speak to every individual in this place. Thank you for your presence that we don't deserve, but we can feel the Holy Spirit in this place. And I ask you that you would please, please, please speak to every one of us. And we give you all the glory for what you're doing, helping us to grow into that tree that can bear much fruit. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody says, amen. I love this whole context because it starts when Jesus saw great multitudes, verse 18, about him. He gave a command to depart to the other side. He will walk with you on your side for a while. He will walk with you on your side, on your ideas, on your way for a while. But then the Bible doesn't say that he said, you stay here, I'm going alone. He says he commands the multitudes to go to the other side. I know that many times in my life the Lord has told me, you have walked on your side long enough. As a Christian, as a pastor, as a father, as a man who tries to be a disciple of Jesus, like this man want to be a disciple. They are honest. But he comes and says to everybody, sooner or later, and many times in your life, if you look in the gospel, many times Jesus tells the multitudes, especially his 12 disciples, now we are going to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, is where he is talking here. And when God says, let's go to the other side in our lives, whatever that means, and I know God is speaking to you, there is always going to be an idea of why to stay on this side. And these men not only are saying, I'm staying on this side, but this individual who wants to follow Jesus, he says, let me go and first bury my father. Let me go and first take care of business in my home. Because there is a principle here that when God calls us to do something for Him, it is always going to challenge our faith to trust that God is going to take care of the things that we want to take care of first. Are you here with me today? God calls me to be in ministry, but God, what about my finances? God calls me to serve Him, but God, what about this? God calls me to live a life different than all my friends, a life of purity. But God, what about this? God calls me to live a life controlled by Him, but it's always going to be somebody. And this was not just some friends. This were His father. And the same God that says here in the Bible, He says, honor your father and your mother. How can He tell this man, no, let the dead bury their own dead? What is He talking about? How can dead people? He's not talking about dead spiritually. Physically. He's talking about who? Dead spiritually. Because the Bible says that we are dead in our sins and in our transgressions. Amen? Without Christ, we are dead. How can Jesus tell and allow this man and give him permission to go back to death? Because that's what the heart of this message is. He is the way, Jesus is the way, the truth, and what? And the life. And Satan came to rob, destroy, and kill, John 10:10. But I came to give you what? Life. And that's where we struggle, because when we struggle with the calling of God, with the voice of God in our lives, many times we don't understand that the enemy is tempting us to go back to something that is dead. Different scholars say that this man, the father, maybe was not dead completely, but he wanted to inherit his part of the inheritance. And so for you to receive as a son part of what belongs to you financially from your father, you had to be present. You couldn't abandon. That's why the prodigal son says, before I leave you, Father, give me what belongs to me. Maybe this would have taken years. Some say he was dead already, and the Hebrew people will go 12 months later and get the bones out of there and then bury those bones by the side family burial. We don't know what the case is, but the heart of the message is Jesus saying, you want to follow life, you cannot go back to what? To what is dead. And when we say, first God, let me prioritize in this area of my life, what we are doing is we are opening the door for Satan to come and control our lives for that point, to the point that we are imagining we're going to be perfect to do what he is telling us. Because this man could go back home. And if there were two brothers or 20 brothers, if this is the only family member who has decided to follow Jesus, don't you think the enemy will try everything in the world to hold him back into death after the father dies? There is so much honor to stay home now, and I have to take care of the ranch because I have a mom who is widow, and I have a bunch of sisters. And who is going to take care of the ranch? So, are you following me here? When you say first this, you are opening the door for the devil to do whatever he wants in your life so you don't go back to what God is really calling you to do. I had a friend, I think I told you this story. Tremendous man of God, Bible college, met his wife. They both called to be pastors in Alaska 30 or so years ago. He marries her. And if he hears this message online, it's okay because he knows that I'm not making this up. But the bride now, his father owns one of the biggest store businesses in my town where I grew up. And the father of the bride says, you have not one Argentinian peso to go and be a missionary in Alaska. You're just going to travel over there and what? Stay here and help me with the store for 2 or 3 years. Around the same time, God called me to go to Paraguay. I'm in Paraguay my first, second, third year. Now by this time, he is already in the store 7 or 8 years later, still selling stuff behind that counter. And I came into the store, and he told me, Christian, never make the great mistake that I did with my life. I wish I would be right now with my wife and my little daughter in a little church behind some little pulpit in Alaska helping somebody over there to come to know Jesus. But here I do, all I do is I sell stuff behind this counter. His family, as he knew at that time, doesn't exist anymore, the same. Did you see what I'm saying? When we say, I'm going to give Satan a good time in my life to mess up stuff so I never go back. Because when God tells you, any parent in here, let me see your hand, would you tell your 7-year-old daughter, I want you to really start looking around for who is going to be your husband. Would you do that? Which you tell your 5-year-old now that you know how to read a little bit, I really want you to look into the university that you're going to pursue when you're 18. Would you do that? No, it's ridiculous. Do you think that God in his love and wisdom is going to call you to do something now that is really his will in 10 or 15 years from now? God will never do that. Amen? He will never call you to follow him now when he really, what he wants is to follow him in 5, 10, or 20 years. So here is this man. Here is this man. Following Jesus is always going to be better. It's going to always require a lot of faith. It's going to always be harder. But the reward is always going to be life for you and life for others. There is enough people in this world, what Jesus is saying, let the dead bury their own dead. He's saying there is enough people who don't know me that can do what you are doing. And I know God has to speak to you today about this. No matter how young or old you are, following Jesus is always better. It's always better. It's always better. We are now with Katie trying to teach Sophia to drive. And I can tell you this is the funniest thing. When two, mama and papa, who grew up in different parts of the world driving, are trying to teach the same individual how to drive. You're going to get there one of these days if you're not there yet. I can only imagine the things that come out of Sophia's mouth when mom takes her to drive practice. And we're not going to tell you where it is because you might call the authorities because I don't know if it's even legal to be driving. It's not too crazy. You know what I'm saying? Many of us drive sometimes a little bit here and there. Yeah, it might be a sin. Well, maybe I just have a moment of conviction right now. But when I take Sophia, mom said to park so many feet before the corner where I don't see anything. I like to park right there and there, you know? If you kiss my car, it's your fault, you know what I'm saying? And then slowly, but then it goes to the conversation, and we all in the car, and you're going to be there. Who is the best driver, mom or dad? You see Katie's hands are going up there. So what do I have to say? I became Satan in that moment. And I said, you know, you guys know how many years ago, how many tickets your mother got in the time of 4 months, how many speeding tickets she got, and how many tickets she got. That hasn't happened in years. And my wife, in her love and kindness and wisdom, says, that's the work of Satan to remind me of my past. And I rebuke it, and she became very Pentecostal, and I take authority in the past, and I don't accept it, and I reject it, and that is... But I start thinking about it. Many of us struggle with some death. They even we did, or that somebody else did in our lives. Are you here with me? For how much longer are you going to go to that gravesite to smell the rotten body? When Jesus says, you need to leave dead and leave it behind. And the longer you walk with me, the farther away I can take you from death. This was just the introduction. So brace yourself. I'm going to go very fast through 3 points. I don't have a whole lot there, but I will try to stay my best. The first point, what is holding you back from surrendering completely, completely to Christ? What is holding you back? It might be a secret sin. It might be something that everybody knows. But what is holding you back from following Jesus 100%? Because this man wanted to follow Jesus, taking care of death. This man wanted to follow Jesus and still mess around with what is dead or what is dying. And the spiritual teaching here is very deep. I never went through surgery, but if you went through surgery and the surgeon says, I have to cut here and cut there, and we're going to put all this anesthesia on you, and you're going to be totally, completely out, and we're going to cut, it's going to bleed, it's going to be... And if you really know what's going on, and he's going to do this, and there's a chance of you dying on the table, and there's a chance of things going... Would you try to negotiate with the surgeon when he has to perform surgery inside of you? Would you say, okay, we have to have a meeting... Surgeon, I want you to do this and this, but I don't want this to happen. Have you ever seen somebody like that? What is the surgeon going to do? He's going to look, because he's not God. He's going to look in your face and he's going to say, goodbye. Go and die with your problem. But with God, we're always trying to negotiate when it comes to completely surrendering completely, completely, completely to him. It makes no sense for me. It makes no sense to anybody. We try to negotiate with our parents. We try to negotiate with your teacher. How many of you guys who didn't pursue maybe an engineer career think that some stuff that they teach you during 12 years in school should never have been there because they are just, how many of you guys, anybody agrees with me there? Or am I the only one who thinks like that? Some things have nothing. But would you go to your teacher and say, I know what you're teaching my kids, and this one thing is teach them maybe how to balance the checkbook instead of this. And would you be able to go and tell the teacher, I want you to teach this to my kids, or I want you to teach me this in college, but not this, because this has nothing to do. I'm wasting my time. Don't even cross your mind to put in the test, because that's a bunch of baloney. Would you do that? You cannot do that. But we want to negotiate with God. We want to negotiate with God. The second point of my message is, where are you trying to negotiate with God like this man from spending more time with Jesus every day? Where are we trying? You and I struggle, most of us, every day when it comes to spend more time with Him. Amen. And we negotiate. We are no different than this man. But God, this is so important. This is so important. I don't have time with you, for you. I have 2 minutes. And be happy that I have 2 minutes. I have one Sunday of the month or two Sundays of the month. I have one Thursday or no Thursdays for you. I don't have time to memorize. I don't have time to fast. We're going to have a week of fast here starting next Sunday. I don't have time to fast. I cannot fast. I think I have some problems that when I don't eat for 2-3 hours, I go crazy, or if I don't watch my entertainment or whatever it is. And what is holding us back? What is holding us back? What is holding us back? The healthier you are, the more hungry you will be. And the sicker you are, I love you, but I have to tell you the truth. The healthier you are, how many of you guys are hungry like every day? When you are hungry, don't eat for 15 or 16 hours. And you're going to get home, and you're going to be chewing on stuff you haven't chewed in a long time, maybe. Because you're healthy. But when we are sick, they can fix our favorite lasagna, our favorite enchilada, or whatever it is. And you look at it, and you don't want to eat it. But the healthier you are, that's why I see Jesus here looking at this man hard. And he's saying, you're still hungry for what is death. You're still hungry for what is dying. You need to today make a decision to follow me. And believe that God is going to take care of what you, or what is you holding you back from completely following me. But we negotiate with God. We negotiate with God in our time in the Word, in prayer. We negotiate with Him about going to church. We negotiate with Him about so many things. The third point of my message, what is holding us back from doing ministry for serving Him? Following Jesus is always better. Following Jesus is always better. Following Jesus is always better. Here is a man. And I want to imagine this might be maybe the only man in his family who have decided to follow Jesus. And here God sees maybe the only chance that this entire family has to come to know Jesus. And this one tool of God, the only maybe tool of God, that this family have a chance to come to follow Jesus, Satan is trying to steal from the hands of Christ. Are you following me here today? In God's grace and mercy, He knows that it's an important thing for the Jewish people to bury this dead man now or in tomorrow, in a year, or when he dies. But there is a huge, way bigger, more important thing in this whole family life, which is what? Eternal life. Amen. Now you tell me. Now you understand why Jesus is saying, you are the only tool for this town, for your relationships, for your family, for whoever you are. I do not know another person from Sweetwater, Arizona, who walks with Jesus. Dina, you from there? So you're the only one. That's why Jesus says, you are the only one, the one I want to use. And you with your ideas of taking care of stuff that anybody else can take care. And Satan stealing the only one who can lead this family to life. You need to understand this, that the things that are holding you back from doing ministry, from serving Christ, for being more full of the Holy Spirit, from saying yes to the calling of God. When I went for my first time to Paraguay, I went there and I knew that God called me for 1 year. That was the contract. That was the whole thing. 1 year. We all went for 1 year, all the single people who went to be a missionary with this missionary, 1 year to help me to start a church. And I told my dad, Dad, I'm going 1 year, and then I'm going back to Argentina. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to be an engineer. At the end of my 1 year, I have to make a decision. The Bible says that Jesus, in Matthew 9:36, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And when I finished my first year in the mission field, everybody's thinking Christian is coming back to go to college. And I'm struggling with this decision. And I go and I talk to my pastor, the missionary, the leader of all this, starting the church with all these young people and pastoral couples and all this stuff. And he did not tell me, I think God is telling me to. No. He said, if you can see the need of the people in Paraguay of Jesus, and you can see that God can use you to maybe one kid or one youth or one adult to come to Him. If you can see the need, you will stay another year. There were many, many, please listen, in Argentina is not like here. The great majority of the people that graduates from college do not follow what they graduated. There is many doctors driving taxis, and many lawyers working in grocery store, because there is not enough work for all these young people that graduate from college. There were many of them who were going to pursue the career who were never going to do it. But there was maybe one or two or five or 20 individuals in Paraguay, and the eternity of them depending on my decision. The next year, I started my first church, which is still today functioning, and it's a beautiful church by the mercy of God. And when Jesus sees, every time you hear the voice, don't get involved, don't do ministry, you need to understand, greeting people at the door, serving refreshments, operating the computer, whatever you do, is all in the plan of God to save somebody in this town. There is no insignificant ministry. There is no insignificant people. But there is two types of people in this world. There is two types of Christians in this world. The ones who follow the leader, and the ones who follow their own dead important things. There is two types of Christians in this church. And this man was called to be an instrument to bring the dead to life. But he says, first, let me go and take care and go and hang out a little longer with them. Would you close your eyes right there where you are this morning? And only God can show you right now what he wants to show you. And you have to walk out of this place making a decision. If it is sin, if it is time with him, if it is consecration, if it is ministry, if it is hanging on to the hurt of the past, and you maybe are so mad at me right now because you're saying, Pastor, are you telling me that taking care of my family is dead? I will say this, it will become dead the moment that you make them more important than anything else in your life. Are you saying, Pastor, that it will become dead the moment that Jesus says, enough on this side of the Sea of Galilee? But what if my father dies, I'm not going to get the inheritance. What are they going to think about me? What are they going to say about me? And Jesus is looking at this man and saying, you are the tool that I have chosen to bring eternal life to your family. I cannot tell you, go back to death. I can only say following Jesus is life, and it's better for you, and it's better for everybody else around you. And if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning, I'm not going to ask you to stand or to come to this friend. But you and I make decisions about death and life every single day in our lives. In what we watch, what we say, what we entertain, what we do, what we talk, what we think. You and I make decisions of death and life in our time with God every single day. And you and I make decisions of death and life when it comes to serving the Lord. And with as much as I love you, I'm preaching to you because I know that I could be another engineer in Paraguay or in Argentina, or I could be just another taxi driver with my title hanging in my bedroom. I don't know. I know how much I struggle every day in between death and life with all kinds of aspects in my life. But if the Lord is showing you one this morning, I want you to say, God, I make a decision this morning. I believe that following you, doing your will, walking with you, putting you first in my life is more important. And I trust that you will take care of everything else. And maybe you're here this morning and you say, I don't even know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And this message is for me because the Holy Spirit is revealing to you that without Christ there is no life. Without Christ there is no heaven. Without Christ there is no hope. Without Christ there is no peace. Without Christ there is no purpose. Without Christ there is no joy. And if that's you this morning, would you pray with me? Say, Father God, thank you for calling me this morning to life. I ask you, Lord, that you would help me to start identifying in my life what is life and what is death. Come into my life, Jesus. Make me a follower of you. Help me to help others. I ask you, God, to help me. I see Christians who their faith is not making any difference in their own lives or in the life of others, God. I don't want to be one of those. I want to be a follower of Jesus. That my faith in you makes a big difference in my life and in the life of others. Lord, help me to do your will. I say yes to you today. I will say yes to you forever. Help me to follow you. Amen and amen.